This is Valley Public Radio. We have a very special guest joining us in the Bonner Performing Arts Studio today, performing an instrument that you likely have not heard before, at least in person. Our guest today is Wu Man. She is in Fresno to perform this weekend with the Fresno Philharmonic in a concert that takes place Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon. It's called East Meets West. Wu Man, welcome to Fresno and Valley Public Radio.
Thank you very much, Joe.
You play the pipa, and this is a very interesting instrument. You'll be performing the Concerto for Pipa by Tan Dun. We'll talk about that in a moment, but I want to talk about your instrument to start off, because it's relatively rare for listeners in this part of California to be exposed to an instrument that they might not already know about or might not have heard in concert. Tell us about the pipa. I understand it's somewhat like a lute.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I have in my hand right now, so you can see it's pretty much like, as I described, like pear-shaped lute-like, and with the four strings. That's the tuning A-D-E-A. Sound a little bit like a banjo, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of a flat body. It's not like a guitar, big body, and there's no sort of like sound hall in the front. So this is quite heavy, actually, and play with the five fingers, this right hand. And the left hand, pretty much like any other plucky instrument, just put on the frets.
This is a traditional Chinese instrument. What is its history? How far back does it date in its current form?
Way back... exist in China 2,000 years. And as I always mentioned, this is actually originally not from China, from a Persian, Central Asia, and introduced to China through the Silk Road trading. And Chinese developed the way now, the form now. Today's form is we hold it straight and play with the fingers. If you see all the painting, and people still holding like very much like a guitar or European lute or Middle East wood, that kind of instrument. But we took 1,000 years, hold it straight and play with the fingers.
So in its traditional context, how is it normally performed? In what setting? You're performing with an orchestra, a symphony orchestra, Western classical context that's very unconventional, as I understand it, for this instrument.
Yeah.
If I were to go to China... and see someone perform this, in what setting would they be playing?
In a traditional setting, we have quite a few solo repertoire. We consider kind of a very instrumental virtuoso solo instrument, but also sitting in small Chinese traditional ensemble, which is 5-6 people with the, you know, bow instrument, plucking, flute, and percussion. And the tea house music, and very much like a jazz, put together, just kind of a free form. People drink tea, but also company with the voice sometimes. And so the concerto, sort of that kind of a setting, it's very, very new. It's Western. It's not a traditional Chinese concept. So I think the traditional we start... the concerto, sort of that format during later 70s, early 80s.
It's very interesting, and I want to turn now to talk about this piece that you're performing this weekend in Fresno. Tan Dun is known to many American audiences and listeners through his score for Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Academy Award winner. This is a piece that he has specifically written for this instrument. Tell us about its origins, and I understand it actually started out through a piece for the Kronos Quartet and later evolved into this current concerto form.
Yeah, the early version, you mentioned the pipa with the string quartet, which is Kronos Quartet, and myself commissioned Tan Dun to write this piece, which is 20 years ago, 1994. It was premiered at the Berklee Music Festival. So this version, he started, sort of reconstructed the piece, and during 1990, he started sort of the pipa with a string orchestra, and to make the piece more bigger, more with more strings. And so particular tomorrow, or Friday night and Saturday this weekend, this is the latest version. He did it last year. More completely as a concerto.
What's it like to see that piece evolve as someone who was involved with it in the very beginning with the Kronos Quartet? That had to be quite a thrill, such an internationally renowned ensemble. And now to see it and to perform it with an entire orchestra, that has to be exciting to see something develop like that. Is it not?
Yeah, the quintet version involved a lot of visual elements. It's very much like a musical theater, and I have to singing, I have to acting during the piece, and also string player have to play percussion instrument, have to shouting on the stage. So it's more kind of a drama kind of a type, and with the visual design, with the lightings. So from that piece and become a concerto, very much concert version, it's different. And of course, I have more string player with me, with the conductor. That's definitely different. But the color of the whole piece, different now. The sound color and then the musical language, because all the visual elements took out, not in the concerto version. But we in the piece actually require player have to shouting, have to do something different than they play classical music. They play Beethoven, very different. And also the language, the music language is very different than Western classical music.
Speaking of this piece, do you think it's more challenging for you to adapt to performing with the orchestra or the string players in the orchestra to adapt to playing this piece and playing with the pipa?
Good question. I think to me it was okay, actually, because the pipa language, like left hand, a lot of bending notes, sound like vibrato. Actually, this is from that piece. So still very traditional sound. And that kind of style, how can the string player play on the strings? That's quite a challenge for them. This is the conversation. You just heard a little bit, that few bars, actually. Pipa with the first violin solo, there's a composition going on. And the string player imitated my sound. So I think that's a challenge for string player, the intonation and the style, the language style. That's needed to learn, to study.
Wu Man, one of the foremost performers on the pipa, joins us in our studio today to talk about her career, about this music, and about this piece. I want to know a little more about your background. Mm-hmm. You've been living in America for several decades now.
24 years.
Not that anyone's counting.
Just to the math.
How did you initially start out with the pipa? You're from China. Tell us more about your background and how this instrument became a part of your life.
Pipa actually popular in China as a traditional instrument. When I was 9 years old, my parents decided, typical parents, said, learn this instrument. The reason I remember my father said, well, first of all, this is the traditional culture, traditional music, and also a lot of old poem describe this instrument. So and also you see when I'm holding, beautiful, as that's what my parents said, for a girl to hold in this instrument, very elegant and very subtle. And there's a poem describe this instrument, holding like half, show the half of the face. So all the combination. So when I was 9 years old, I learned this piece, this instrument, and since then I never gave it up.
Did you have any idea then that you would be doing what you're doing now, living in America, traveling the world, performing with orchestras? Was that ever an inkling in your...
When I was 13, I went to Beijing Central Conservatory of Music, which is the music school in China. And by then, I already know this is my career. I'm going to be a musician because that music school, it's so, so difficult to get in. And somehow, you know, I showed my talent. So that means that's your life, your career, going to be a musician. So very intense training, and I stayed in that school over 10 years, started from high school level into college and graduate school. So when I moved here in 1990, I feel like I started from zero. Because nobody knows this instrument, nobody know what the Chinese music, who is a woman. Although I already in China, already kind of raising star and win the competition and didn't mean anything when I came here. But fascinating to me, which is we have so many diversity of culture. So that's the most exciting thing for me to learn, to study. That's how I got into all different area with my instrument.
How did you go about doing that? As you said, you came here and started. People didn't know about Wuman the virtuoso. How did you do that?
Keep doing. Don't give it up. Always start with very starts small, and you just keep continually, and you try to introduce to audience every occasion, every chance you could. And then, of course, the to me, I think curiosity. That's the most kind of a key word for me. I'm just fascinated by all the kinds of music, all different cultures. So I'm lucky.
Yes, indeed. Tell me about your instrument itself. Is this a relatively new instrument? Is it something that was made for you? Is it something you acquired at some point? What's its story? It's beautiful.
You see the back, actually. It's a beautiful... beautiful bag. There's a painting. This one with me about 10 years. And it is also, it's my teacher gave to me. Yeah, it's very special. And we don't use antique instrument. This is the version, it's a 19th century version. If we go back to 2,000 years, that's very different. It's smaller. But this kind of form and version, it's 19th century. It's settled, and now we use this version. This is a gift from my teacher.
It's a beautiful, beautiful piece. And we're so happy to have you here and sharing this with us. It's so new to many here in Central California, and you're really an ambassador for this music and for Chinese culture throughout the world. That has to be exciting, but also a great responsibility to have. When people think of the pipa, they think of you. What is that that like, at least for many people in the West?
That's heavy. That's very heavy. Well, tell you the truth. Actually, when I started to introduce this instrument, work very hard and try to, I never thought about that. And when I saw people said, you're actually ambassador of Chinese culture or Chinese music, and I look back, I said, wow, yes, what I've been doing, what I did, actually, it is some kind of meaning there, and people recognize me as an ambassador. I'm really feel honored. I think, again, I said, because work very hard. It is hard worker.
How is a piece like this, this concerto, mm-hmm. it's obviously very well received in the West, in the U.S., the original work with the Kronos Quartet. How is it received in China?
Oh, amazing. We actually have not played the concerto version. We played the string quartet with, you know, the quintet version. I remember first time 15 years ago, Kronos and I brought this piece back to China, to Beijing, play first time at the Beijing Concert Hall. It was packed and a lot of people standing there because they no more tickets. All my teachers came to the concert, it was a huge, sort of a huge thing in Beijing as a music, in the music field. And they have a discussion, they have a conference about this piece, about this combination, about me, about Kronos. But so interesting what my teacher said after concert. He said, well, I really enjoyed it. I'm proud of you, but I don't understand. Because the concept, the musical sort of a theater, and I have to sing, and they never heard me singing. Like, you can sing, you know. And also the concert, they have concert, you shouldn't have lighting design, you shouldn't have sound equipment, you know, all that kind of, but that was the first sort of for Chinese audience kind of a message sending to them. What is new music? What is contemporary? What we can do besides just play regular piece?
Exposing this instrument to a wider audience is also very timely in that the time from when this piece first premiered to now, we're sitting here in early 2014, this is also the time when China's emergence on the global stage has mm-hmm. been such one of the biggest stories of the last 20 years or so. Talk about how Chinese culture is now receiving or being received. Mm-hmm. How do you see that throughout your travels? And as that ambassador, do you see a parallel there between the exposure of a piece like this and your home country?
I think, yeah, I definitely think this is the best time. I always say I'm very fortunate as a musician. This is the best time because even 20 years ago, I came here, I mentioned nobody knows the instrument, or now everybody has iPhone, iPad, CDs, everything, and TV. So the communication, the information, it's much, much shorter, much, much closer. And also I think audience, both sides, China or West, audience all very much open the mind than 20 years ago. And they accept everything. They wanted to know what's going on outside their own country. They wanted to know outside what's other culture like. What music, what arts. This is the best time to me.
You mentioned that the pipa owes its origins or has its origins in the Silk Road as it came from Persia mm-hmm. 2,000 years ago. You were also a part of Yo-Yo Ma's Silk Road Ensemble, mm-hmm. One of the most talked about groups that I can think of in the past, about 15 years now
right.
or so. What was that experience like working with all these different musicians from different cultures and backgrounds? And, of course, Yo-Yo Ma, this international superstar in the music world. Mm-hmm. What was that experience like?
I think that best experience for musician to work with something like a Silk Road Ensemble or with a musician in the ensemble from all the different countries. Chaos experience in a good way, in a very good way. Also learning kind of a process to me and learn different culture from each other. But also I'm teacher too. I teach my culture to other musicians, to my colleagues. the very beginning, 15 years ago, we have all the translator. We have five different language translator sitting in the rehearsal. Now, 15 years later, we don't have to. That's the experience. We just sitting, we play music together. There's no translator.
A great example of the power of music. Again, if you just joined us today, we're talking with Wu Man. She's performing with the Fresno Philharmonic this weekend. She is one of the foremost performers on the traditional Chinese instrument known as the pipa, and she has her instrument for us today. We'll ask her to play something in a little bit. But before we do that, I want to turn back to this concerto for pipa and Tan Dun. Tell us a little more about him. And it's especially great this year because many of the great composers who Western orchestras play are long since departed. Their music is still very much alive, but it's mm-hmm. great to have a composer on this year's concert bill that is a living composer, someone you know.
Yeah.
Tell us about Tan Dun.
Tan Dun is my schoolmates from way back to China and in Beijing. And when I was at the high school, he already in the college. But we stay in the same campus, so we know each other over 20 years. And he's came from, you know, his hometown from this particular area. It's called Hunan in China, kind of a mountain area. And we all know the Hunan spicy food. Mm-hmm. so his music, definitely you can taste that kind of a spice, very hot. He has his own language, definitely, in his music. He is great performer as well. And that's, I remember when we discussed about this piece, and he mentioned using Chinese folk song and Bach music, and put it together, something else become. It was amazing. That moment was amazing. So this piece, actually with the three movements, different three movements, but without a stop. It's all continually play. But you definitely notice there's different, three different section. And pipa in this piece particular, like a storyteller. It's kind of above the orchestra, kind of telling a story. Storyteller, kind of a role still in his quintet version. And so the string support in some moment. But some moment the string goes to somewhere beautiful Bach melody, very European, very medieval kind of, but combined with the Chinese folk song on the pipa. That's the magic moment. That's typical Tan Dun's music.
It's very exciting. Do you think it's somewhat appropriate that this piece is a great example of a fusing of Western tradition and Eastern tradition, whereas the instrument itself is also a fusion of different cultures in its history? Somewhat appropriate, is it not?
Yeah, it really makes sense to me. You know, the string is the Western classical instrument, and pipa is a Chinese classical, way back 1,000 years old. So I think, and also music as well, Chinese folk tune, folk song, and with the Bach, early European music. So those two put together make our today's language. Our today's music language.
Before we go, can we have you play a solo piece for us? And you can do it right here.
Right here?
Yeah.
Sure. I'm going to play a traditional tune. The piece called Little Bright Moon. So imagine that very quiet and a lot of my left hand detail and have that night kind of a picture, the sky, the moon. That's very typical pipa music.
Music by Wu Mon, performed in our studio here at Valley Public Radio. She is performing with the Fresno Philharmonic, performing Tan Dun's Concerto for Pipa and Orchestra in a concert billed as East and West. The concert takes place Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon at the Paul Chagoyan Concert Hall on the campus of Clovis North High School in Northwest Fresno or Northeast Fresno. Again, we are so excited to hear this piece performed this weekend, and we're really looking forward to it. Again, Wu Mon joining us in our studio today. Wu Mon, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.